Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Hour number two rolls along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Before we get to the man of the hour, you hear the music, you know what that's about. Do got to take care of some things first. Ready to take your game day to the next level? Enter online now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $300 tailgate trade certificate for Alibaba Kebab to feed 12 football fans each Friday. A winner will be announced during Football Friday with Shope and the Bulldog. Fire up your taste buds at any of their three locations. Now, we go to the Western Hotline. Sal Capaccio joins the show. Normally, Sal, Wednesday, we're getting our first injury report, what have you. Instead today, Bills are going to be off at least until tomorrow. We'll get our first injury report then. So, with that being said, pretty good game yesterday, Mr. Capaccio. Pretty good day.
Something going on.
That's
in the
Derek. That's Derek.
Derek's unhappy about this. Is Derek a Blue Jays fan?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, Derek. I didn't realize that, I guess.
Hey, we have a series, Sal. Game on.
I was never more happy to, and I don't think he actually tweeted it, but Old Takes Exposed could have got a hold of my tweet, and that would have been fine. I'm never more happy because I wrote in the third inning that I would say it's a good series, but it hasn't been a good series.
Right.
I'm not even saying from a Yankees fan, just a baseball perspective. Mm-hmm. It was a beatdown. Boring. Like, okay, here we go. One team scores lots of runs. The other team doesn't. And then as soon as I tweeted that, like an inning later, bam, everything started to happen. It was crazy. So, yeah, and I mean, obviously tonight it's a bullpen game for the Blue Jays after they used a bunch of their bullpen, so you got to get it if you're the Yanks, and then anything can happen in a game five. So I'm happy the Yankees won, obviously. It was super exciting last night. What a moment for Aaron Judge. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that moment.
I'm so happy for you, Sal.
that Judge moment.
It's good
moment,
to have a good series, though, honestly. Yeah. I do want to say that.
That Judge moment, though, I listen to Colin Cowherd a lot, and he calls them like high leverage at-bats, and you know, the story on Judge, Stanton, and a lot of the Yankees is that in those high leverage situations, in those high leverage at-bats, they come up short. And I heard you talking this morning with Jeremy and Joe. The call for that home run is incredible. You know, if it stays fair, this is his moment. It's so good. I'm not a Yankees fan. I'm not really a Jays fan. I'm just rooting for a good series and interesting baseball. I think that's an incredible moment for this postseason. For him to have that moment in that situation was just phenomenal.
No doubt. And he his legacy has been kind of rooted in he hasn't been able to perform on the biggest of stages, right, in the playoffs. But this year he has. Now, he hasn't had the home runs until last night.
Right.
He hit the home run. But he's hitting his numbers in the postseason this year are better than they were in the regular season. And he had MVP numbers in the regular season, right? So I get it. You want more home runs. But, man, pitchers are pitching him not to hit home runs. That ball he hit last night, I have no idea how he did it. The stats and the analytics on that ball – it was over a foot inside, over 100 miles an hour, and he got around on it. And it never. When do you ever see a ball not continue to go foul in that situation?
Right.
It was unbelievable that it stayed.
It was incredible at bat.
It's a big moment for him, and it's good because, again, the narrative on him is that, you know, like, oh, like the big bats with the Yankees always shrink in the big moments with this crew in this core, and it's just. No, that's good to see that there. But even then, it got off to an innocuous start again for New York. The Jays continue to be indiscriminate about what starting pitcher the Yankees are trotting out there.
Yeah, for sure. This is going to be really interesting tonight. We'll see. and Schlittler, and he had that big moment last week against the Red Sox, and now he's in for another big one at Yankee Stadium. One thing, look, I've been to Yankee Stadium for playoff games, and I'll say, like, it is an incredible atmosphere. When things start to go your way or against you when you're the other team, you feel it. It really does, and that's why I think, like, if the Yankees can kind of get off to a bit of a start tonight, like, that's going to start creeping in on the Blue Jays. But I will say this, guys. The Blue Jays have an amazing offense. They can beat anybody in baseball, and at any given night, they can score 12 runs, and it doesn't matter. And even last night in the ninth inning, I'm like, I don't care. This team has come back all the time this year. They just win late games. And I still thought that could happen, and obviously the Yanks won the game, and, you know, we're in for a nice baseball game tonight.
Game four tonight at Yankee Stadium, 7:08 first pitch. Sal, for the Bills, though, we did mention it bringing you in. It's actually an off day for the Bills because they're playing Monday night against Atlanta. We'll get our first injury reports tomorrow. I don't know if you saw, though, on Instagram, maybe some good news for Bills fans. Ed Oliver putting out on Instagram, it seems like there's a good sign that he's going to be playing. I think it's been trending that way, at least for him, in terms of his practice schedule being limited and really starting to ramp up. What do you think it would mean for the Bills? And nothing official, obviously, yet. But what do you think it would mean for this defense if they could get Oliver back?
So, a couple things about this. Number one, I just think it's awesome at Oliver. Like, he is a guy that wants to be great, and he was very frustrated about the situation where he got stepped on and he couldn't play. When we talked to him last week, you could tell that. He said he felt he was dominant in that Baltimore game, and he kind of was, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he felt he was just going to kind of keep taking off. And then he has this setback where he gets stepped on. I love the fact that Ed Oliver has that mentality. I really do. I think Ed Oliver is a gamer. He is a dog. And when it comes time, and I think there's been questions about that in the past, right, about Ed Oliver. I don't question it. I see it, and I think that it is awesome to get a motivated Ed Oliver because I think he wants to really show that he can be one of the top defensive tackles in the league and make impactful plays. So I think that's awesome, number one. Number two, I did not see this Instagram post until you just pointed it out, so I'm looking at it right now. What does it say here? It says Moneybag spin on him at Oliver. I don't know. I mean, he chose him. It just has him doing his lasso, right? So hopefully this is a good sign. You know, guys, I'm not sitting here and telling you that Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi, but especially Hoyt and getting at Oliver back are the fix all end all. Michael Hoyt's not for another game after this, but I do think they're going to matter. I do think that those guys matter to the defense. I think Ed Oliver really matters to this defense. Because you have to block their defensive line differently when he's in the game. When you have practice squad guys being called up and they're doing a fine enough job, but they're not at Oliver. When they're in the game, you can go one-on-one with them. You don't have to double-team them. Then you can double-team the edges. Joey Bosa, Greg Rousseau. Ed Oliver in the middle should make a difference on the edges for the other guys to be able to do what they're supposed to do. Everything works in concert, right? And then to me, I am really excited to see Michael Hoyt as a part of this defense in a few weeks. I thought he was the best defensive player on the Bills during preseason and training camp.
And I mean, that was the thing, Sal, is when you were watching him play, he was in a situation where they were playing him maybe a little bit longer in some of these preseason games, but he's going up against backups, and he looked like a man amongst boys. Even when he was going up against starters, he looked very good. He's one of the more versatile defenders, and something that I started pointing out last week, it's PFF grades, and I know it only goes so far, and maybe even in some aspects, especially offensive line grading, it might be very wrong, but at least for him, it is something to point out. At his position, he was a top 10 graded run defender. That is something to get excited about. Sal, I'll also bring this up, too, in talking about Ed Oliver and what he does for the defensive line. Someone like AJ Epenesa, who he has not really had an up-and-down career. He's kind of just been sort of the quote-unquote same guy. Around 6 sacks every year, he'll have one pop game, he'll kind of disappear for a little while. But a lot of the underlying numbers, especially pressure rate, absolutely love him compared to like the rest of the NFL. I think his pressure rate's like 28.6%, and it's good for like top 5 in the league.
Yeah, I think I'm sorry. Did you bring it? I lost you for a second there. Epenesa, you're talking about?
AJ Epenesa, yeah.
AJ Epenesa, yeah. Sorry, I think that AJ Epenesa has played better than people understand or give him credit for because the consistency maybe sometimes isn't there enough, and I get that. Or a big play isn't there enough when sometimes it shows up here or there. But I agree with you that the overall numbers are better. It's also because of opportunity because the Bills rotate linemen, right? That's what they do. It's opportunity. AJ Epenesa is a fine player. A lot of teams would like to have an AJ Epenesa on their team. It's not, he's not this incredible 12 sack guy a year guy, but he makes plays sometimes. He's a big part of what they do. You can't have all pros everywhere, but you need guys like AJ Epenesa on your team who, yes, I agree with you, have made some plays and have done some nice things this year.
Sal Capaccio here on the West Her Hotline. Sal, I also want to get your thoughts on the offense from over the weekend against the Patriots. I do want to move on to Atlanta, but specifically on this, Dalton Kincaid maybe had his best game as a receiver. Statistically, he did. It was his first time going over 100 yards, and I tweeted it out early, and I still stand by this. I'm thrilled to be wrong about where I sat with Kincaid. This has been his best year, I think, bar none. He's up there in terms of most receiving yards for tight ends across the league. I do wonder, though, are we maybe going to get to a point, because receivers like Josh Palmer haven't really popped off. Keon Coleman hasn't as well outside of really that fourth quarter against Baltimore. Are we getting to a point? I know they like they're rotating the three tight ends and having that three tight end system, but are we getting to a point where maybe he's just going to have to be on the field more because he might be their best receiving weapon?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, there's some numbers that say he's getting some separation, right? But the Bills love to lean into what they do best. I guess the question would be, like, are they better doing that, or are they better keeping three tight ends and giving it to, James Cook more often? And I think they probably feel they're a really good run team, and they can give the ball to James Cook, and then that can keep them into situations where they don't have to rely on those guys getting separation down the field. I'd like to see Josh Palmer a little bit more involved. That's got to come from Josh Palmer to make plays. It's got to come from Joe Brady doing it. There's no doubt about it. But look, I think the Bills' best asset this year on offense is running the ball with James Cook. And as good as Josh Allen is, and we all want to let Josh do his thing, I get it. But James Cook is tremendous right now, and I don't know how much you want to go away from that. But I would love to see. You can't have everything. If you're going to do the James Cook thing and he's going to get the ball, all these guys can't be getting the ball on the outside. But I do think that when it comes time for a critical down, I would like to see maybe Josh Palmer a little bit more involved in that, because it says that there are some numbers saying that he is doing a good enough job to get that separation, and that's up to the scheme and up to Josh Allen to find him.
Sal, injury-wise with this team, obviously we saw the post from Ed Oliver, but also Jimmy Charlo gets brought up to the 53-man roster. Baylen Spector is brought back in on the practice squad. Milano looks like it's going to be a week-to-week thing from what the head coach said. But also Dorian Williams still dealing with anything. Any updates there with the linebacking core and how it's kind of thinning out a little bit due to injury now? It's the linebacker's turn, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, they re-signed Baylen Spector, and I know that gets eye rolls from people, and I understand. He has been a guy that has not been reliable. He's been unavailable. He gets injuries. And when he's on the field, he's a liability in pass coverage. He's a good run defender. But the reason you do something like that is because if you need hey, let's get through a week, okay, at practice and in the game. It doesn't mean he's going to play. I'm not saying they're going to elevate him and put him on the field. They could, I guess, because if Dorian Williams is out.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Yeah, Matt Milano and Dorian Williams, you need somebody who knows what to do. So for everybody who says, oh my God, I can't believe they signed these guys just because they know the system. Well, if you need a one-week fix, that's what you do. You can't go out and sign a guy who's brand new because he's not going to know the system. He can't jump in. He just can't play. He's not ready. Now, I don't even know if that's the case. I think Shaq Thompson is more likely to be that guy. But then that bumps a guy like Shaq Thompson from special teams more to playing. Joe Andreessen maybe more to playing. Now you need someone for special teams, maybe, and he knows the special teams. So again, that it is causing a ripple effect down the roster. Jimmy Charlo's on the roster right now. You can use him. So, yes, the linebacker injuries are something they're dealing with. We do not have, just so everybody understands, we will not have anything today from the Bills as far as injuries are concerned. That will come tomorrow because they play on Monday Night Football. You get the first injury report on Thursday. If I would expect at this point Matt Milano wouldn't play. The encouraging news is it doesn't seem like it's an IR thing from what Sean McDermott said. So I know you might not be able to rely on him being super available going forward, but at least you know that maybe it is something he can get back on the field from in the next few weeks. And then I think Dorian Williams is the big one. If you can get Dorian Williams back, then that's great. If not, then you're dipping into, you know, again, Shaq Thompson, Joe Andreessen, Jimmy Charlo, and even Baylen Spector, or Keontae Jenkins, who they really like, but they've already used two elevations.
Mm-hmm. Sal, let's look now to the Bills' opponent on Monday night, the Atlanta Falcons. They were on the bye this week, and I think many of us, and I would include myself in that, saw them get beat down by Carolina 30-0 and sort of maybe discredit them or maybe start to look past them. But their numbers, especially on defense, are very, very good. They really went into the defense on draft day or really draft weekend. Jalen Walker, James Pierce, and then they also added two safeties as well, Xavier Watts, Billy Bowman. They seem to be a very athletic unit on defense and then on offense as well. This is a team that is loaded with guys like Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson. I think there was maybe a period a few weeks ago where this was maybe going to be an easy game for the Bills. Now, and maybe it's partially coming off the first loss, I do look at this game and this is going to be a fight, I think, for the Bills, especially a wounded defensive unit, which they've been for most of this year.
And a team in the Falcons who had a bye week.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So, I mean, they're going to have 2 weeks to get healthy and prepare for the Bills, and they're going to be ready to, you know, welcome the Buffalo Bills and their MVP quarterback in and say, we're here to show everybody that we can play in this league at the highest of levels. I mean, they're going to be in for a fight, no doubt. This should be a good game from them. And, you know, their offense are so talented, but they do have a second-year quarterback who has his ups and downs. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got shut out by the Carolina Panthers a couple weeks ago. Now, the stats show that they were okay in that game. They shouldn't have gone as sideways as it did, but they did get shut out by the Carolina Panthers. This has kind of been a feast or famine type of offense a little bit here with the Atlanta Falcons. You look at their offensive numbers, they're very middle of the pack in a lot of areas.
Yeah.
Okay? They're very middle of the pack. You think they should be way better offensively because of Bijan, because of Drake London, because of Kyle Pitts. But I do think because you have a second-year quarterback who has his ups and downs, and that's going to be what the Bills need to do, is just confuse Michael Penix. I think the Bills will go into this game and say, we're going to make it so he doesn't know what he's seeing. He doesn't trust what he's seeing, and then we're going to rely on him to maybe throw us a ball or two. But, man, their defense is getting after it. You're right. Now, they have not played the most world-beating quarterbacks, but that's okay. The Bills haven't played the toughest schedule in the league, and you say you can only play who's on your schedule. So I give them a lot of credit, especially against the pass. The Atlanta Falcons are allowing 135 yards passing a game, which is number one in the league. They're only allowing 5.19 yards per play via the pass, which is really awesome as well. They're taking the ball away. They're not giving up big plays. I mean, they're really good. The third down percentage is good. This is going to be – the Bills are going to have some wrinkles to run at the Atlanta Falcons. And one thing is, though, they do allow yards on the ground a little bit more. Now, maybe that's because they're so good against the pass teams. They're running on them, whatever. You can always balance that out. But that's where I go back to, guys. I think this is a game where the Bills maybe go back to their bread and butter and run the ball.
And that's probably what the Bills want to do. You could kind of see on Sunday night, they were a little uncomfortable when they couldn't get the running game going. It did sort of get them a little bit out of sync. I felt like, Sal, maybe you felt this way too, but the first few series for the Bills, it kind of just felt like they were throwing things at a wall, hoping it worked. It didn't feel like they were comfortable in doing stuff. You see it with the flea flicker and what have you. And then, of course, it's a fumble, and that's, you know, obviously, everyone's going to look at, but it was even still weird to have a designed run to a tight end. It didn't feel like that's what they really based their entire offense on. It felt very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I just go back to last week and say you can't give the ball away three times.
No.
Simple as that.
Yep.
That's what it comes down to. I mean, think about the two turnovers in each red zone. The Bills give the ball away in the Patriots' red zone and give the ball away in their own red zone. Those two things that happened at least resulted in a 6-point swing, if not a 14-point swing. Well, I guess you couldn't say that. The Patriots got a field goal out of it, I think, if I remember right. But either way,
yep.
The point is the Bills could have had a field goal or a touchdown. So you're talking about 6 to 10-point swing. The Bills lose by 3, right? You cannot turn the ball over. So as much as there are a lot of things to clean up and look at, that's the number one thing this week that the Buffalo Bills have to do on offense. Take care of the football.
And then, Sal, looking a little bit further down the line, I know Jeremy and Joe were talking about trade acquisitions. I know Shelton Bulldog have taken calls about, where do you want to go with trade acquisitions, what have you. And this is something I've been thinking about mainly also because the team I follow in college is having a less than stellar season, so it's been more in the forefront. But it's something I've seen a lot of people bring up, and I think it's brilliant to kind of discuss is, now that we're into the season, what are we, like 40% through this season already? I mean, it comes at you fast. Every team has problems, right? I think one of the best things that's been talked about this year is that there really may not be a great team in the NFL, or at least definitely in the AFC. Everyone's got issues. But what can you hide, and what do you have to just live with? And I think for the Bills, they can live, at least personally for me, they can live with the issues on the defensive line. They're going to get guys back from suspension. They're getting their rookies more playing time, what have you. I wonder if they can't hide, though, and the stats don't point to this, but at least the eye test isn't looking great, their secondary, Sal. It's Trey White, and it probably wasn't plan A for them. That's why they added Max Harrison in the first round. It's why they went and got Dorian Strong in the sixth. It probably wasn't their plan A for him to be potentially cornerback number two in the long run. And it also probably wasn't part of their plan that Christian Benford has not looked like Christian Benford's standard. Do you think, though, corner specifically is an area where they are going to have to target for a trade, or do you think that is an area that they can maybe live with and hide?
I think as I sit here now, it might be an area where you want to look at, but they're still a few weeks away from that. They have a bye week next week. I think you want to see on a week-to-week basis, what do you have this week, right? I do think that they are doing a good job of not giving up explosive plays over the top. That's the safeties, too, and the corners. But I think they have to be a bit better early on in the play, early on in the down, underneath, be closer to the ball. The most telling stat from me this past weekend, guys, and I tweeted about this, we talked about this, the Bills had one pass breakup, one, and it came from A.J. Epenesa. Not one defensive back had a pass breakup. That tells me they're just not close enough to the ball. You have to be closer. And the reason, and Bart, by the way, when that happens, that's also how you miss tackles, because you're not close enough to make the tackle as soon as the guy catches it. And what happens? Stephon Diggs catches it. You're 2 yards off, you go and you wave at him because he makes a nice move and he's a fantastic athlete, and he makes you miss. You can't have that. I think the Bills have to be better in – maybe it comes down to more tighter man-to-man and changing that a little bit. Maybe it comes down to just saying to yourself, hey, you know what? I'm going to be a little more risky here. I don't know. I know that's tough to say. Maybe you force a team to say, you know what? If you really want to go over the top, we're going to give you – we're going to risk, and there's going to be opportunities, but we're going to make sure that we're on you when you throw the ball, 10, 15 yards downfield.
So one of the things that's been impressive and yet also at the same time, sometimes it seems like it's been disappointing, is the pressure rate. The Bills are one of the better teams in the NFL now in pass rush win rate again. And even in pressures, they're a lot better. They even get 4 sacks against New England, but it does seem like closing and finishing those pressures sometimes is still an issue for this team.
And that comes down to tackling, too. Tackling's been an issue, right? So pressure, closing, finishing off. It's been an issue since really week one. Remember the Lamar Jackson escape Houdini, right? Where he runs.
Oh, yeah.
They have him for this huge loss, and he runs. Spencer Rattler had one of those, I think it was. Alvin Kamara's in the backfield. Joey Bosa has him, lets him go. And then, of course, Drake May last week when Daquan Jones literally has him dragging him down, and somehow he makes the play. What did Bobby Babbage said this, guys? Bobby Babbage, the defensive coordinator, said, you have to get the guy to the ground. Well, the ball carrier has to go to the ground. Like, that's the name of the game. And you give credit to where credit's due. There are athletes on the other side. They're football players. They get paid. They're making plays, right? When Josh Allen does it, no one goes. When Josh Allen has a play like that, we don't come on the radio and go, man, that guy and the other team stunk for not getting him down. What you say is, our guy's amazing. That's what you say, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Because you have to look at it through both prisms. And the prism, you look at it for the Bills on the defensive side, is our guy didn't get him down. Well, that guy makes a play too, and that's okay. But you can't let that happen as often as it happened to the Bills so far. That has been an issue. You have to get guys to the ground.
Yeah, it has felt like, especially the start of the year, that they have been victimized a lot by some of these mobile quarterbacks. They seem to have a pretty big issue. And I think one of them, too, Sal, is not even getting the guys back down and with the sacks and stuff, it has been almost like they're getting victimized by their own pressure rates, where all of a sudden the middle of the field is wide open. It's like, oh, no, here we go. They got in, but now there's going to be a gaping hole, and these guys are just going to scamper through it. But no practice today. What's the schedule look like, though, for this week? I know there's going to be some changes here.
Yeah, no media availability. I think the team is probably doing some stuff today, but no media availability today. Practice tomorrow would be like kind of a normal Wednesday where we get our first injury report of the year, and it's kind of more of a full practice. And then everything's pushed up a day because of – or back a day, however you want to look at it, I guess, because of the Monday Night Football game. So we will not get an official injury report or even practice designations today. That happens tomorrow for the first time. And then we won't get game statuses until Saturday. Mm-hmm. The team will practice Thursday, Friday, Saturday this week, basically instead of Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And we are still going to have Sean McDermott on Friday on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show right here, though. So make sure everybody's now – when he's on Friday this week, we won't get game statuses because that won't come until Saturday. Again, Monday Night Football game, things change a little bit.
All right, sounds good. Sal, we'll talk again soon, man. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks so much.
All right, you too, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Sal.
Sal Capaccio there on the Wester Hotline. A little bit of a note from Sabres practice today. Owen Power in a regular jersey. And then Zach Benson, crisis averted, appeared to take a puck to the face, went to the locker room for a minute. He is back on the ice, though. So
yeah, nothing,
no issues there.
Nothing like a top six forward taking a puck to the face the night before your opening game of the season.
Did that happen to Sam Reinhart last night? Did he get hurt last night?
I don't recall. Rodriguez.
Evan Rodriguez did. Okay.
Rodriguez did.
I thought I saw somebody, and I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
They're already
dealing
with injuries.
It was a former
Saber.
You are correct on that end of it. It was Rodriguez.
Oh. 803-0550, the number to call. John, Jay, we'll get to you guys if you hang on here for just a few more minutes after we come back from a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, this is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.